All right, so this morning we have the opportunity to have Evan Fedak with us, if you'll come up, Evan. He was here a couple weeks back. Some of you got to meet him. God has led him into the mission field. And as soon as you say that, everybody says, oh, where are you going? Well, Bowling Green. God has led him to go there and minister. And which, speaking of which, real quick, before I hand this off to you, Michelle is in South Africa now. She was touching base with us on our trip when she landed in Istanbul, and then when she got to South Africa, and she's going to be working with children down there with a group that has gone down. So, and you know, we've partnered with her on that trip as well, and you know, we blessed her last week going out. But just to give you a heads up, if you don't know, if you've probably heard a little bit, but probably not much has changed. Okay, good. So she's in northern South Africa, so they're going to be ministering to children. So if you want to know how to get the parents, get the children. The devil knows that. That's why he keeps them out of church. So Evan is going to share some things with us, and Evan, take it away.
Thanks. All right, guys, I'm going to head on up here. So, good morning, guys. As you guys know a little bit about me, my name is Evan Fedak from Bowling Green State University, a little bit up north. But you're probably still wondering three things. Really, like, who is this guy? Where is he from, really? And why is he here speaking to you guys? And those are great questions. And don't worry, I'm going to answer all those. And I'm going to start a little bit with just who am I, a little bit about my backstory. And so before we get into everything, I want to start this also with prayer. So if you want to bow your heads quickly with me. Lord, just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here in Mount Gilead, be here at the At His Feet Christian Center, speaking with these amazing people. I ask that the words that I say today are from you and from you alone, Lord. I ask that the ears that these are listened to, Lord, are of yours as well. I ask that this is filled with your spirit and that this is something that you are going to bless, just as the ministry I've been a part of. And in your name I pray. Amen. So, my story starts at birth, obviously. Like, you know, all of us are born. That's a good point. But the story of where I met God started when I was 6 years old. My parents had recently gotten divorced, and I was about in first grade, maybe kindergarten, coming home from school, and one of my friends had mentioned a church. And at 6 years old, I told my mom, hey, I want to go to that church. So just like Pastor said, reach the kids and you'll reach the families, right? That's exactly what happened. I went home to my mom and I said, let's go to church. She said, all right, let's do it. Told my dad, and that was a whole situation. When you have divorced parents that live 2.5 minutes away from each other, it's a fun custody agreement where I get to see them every other day, especially on the weekends. So Sundays with my dad was always interesting. Little did I know, attending this church with my mom was the first seed being planted, not just in my life, but in hers as well, of our spiritual walks. And I was able to be a part of that local church all the way till I graduated high school, which led me to be able to go to summer camps, different mission opportunities, and also get baptized at one of those camps when I was in sixth grade. For those of you that have had the opportunity to be baptized, you guys know that that does not make your faith walk any easier right afterwards. The Lord does not necessarily stop the enemy from speaking to you. It just means that the enemy is going to be tempting you more and more. And that's exactly what happened. Once I got baptized, I realized the sin that I was starting to walk in. Through going through middle school, I was already dealing with lust, sexual impurities, drinking, and partying. And that part of me felt like a fraud, right? I felt like I was starting to live a double life, but I didn't necessarily know how to analyze that as a middle schooler going into my teenage years of high school. And so as I got into high school, COVID hit. So if any of you guys remember, 5-6 years ago now, 2020 happened. And in between my sophomore and junior years of high school, I was in a really, really bad car accident. I had an incident where I had lost control of my car and crashed into 30 feet of guardrail on the side of the highway with my cruise control set to 60 miles an hour. This car accident left me pretty maimed and not so great, but I was able to crawl out of my passenger side somehow. And I was reaching around on the ground to try to find my phone and some other belongings, and instead, I found this Bible. I had to dig this Bible out of a box this past weekend when I was moving out of my parents' houses to get fully moved into Bowling Green. And it's a Bible that I haven't really used since this accident, but when I found it, it was on the ground in a field, because my mom always told me for good luck to keep it underneath my driver's seat. And so I, in obedience to my mom, always did that, but I was like, all right, Mom, whatever. I didn't just find this Bible, though. In that time of the field where I was looking around for my phone, I heard the Lord's voice shout, "Find me." And it wasn't like I found it. It was at my feet. It was at my feet in this field that I just picked up this Bible and I held onto it super tight. There's still grip marks on the back of it from when I basically put my fingers into the binding of this Bible. And so when I got into my last years of high school, my faith was extremely at a high. From that moment, I felt like my life was saved, that I was given a new opportunity to understand what we're supposed to do here as Christians. But that did not make the living in sin part just disappear. It made it much harder to now analyze and understand. When I got to Bowling Green State University, I was a college student, that I was reached by this church that I'm going to talk about today. And they were doing some late-night evangelism while I was out at the bars, and they had sought me out and said, "Hey, why don't you come to this church?" They were handing out pancakes to drunk people. It's a great opportunity to meet people where they're at. And in that time, I felt like I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing, obviously. Being out at the bars is not necessarily how you live in His image, right? But at the time, I was living a double lifestyle. Go to classes, be a good student, go to church whenever you're not hungover, and then go to the bars whenever you're invited. That was my lifestyle until I found this church. And this church really found me, right? They didn't really give me the opportunity to say no. I had so many friends that are now in this church that were in classes with me in my hallways. They invited me onto a service evangelism trip for spring break where we got to go down to Panama City Beach, Florida. And if you know Rebecca, she came with us last year or 2 years ago now, and that was on my second year. But on my first year down on this trip where it's designed to give free and safe transportation towards college students that are out celebrating their spring break, we actually had a time where we got to break up our week and go to a prayer house to center our mind and heart on the Lord and pray for those out on those streets and pray for our campuses back home. At this time, I didn't feel so great about myself in this group. Again, just weeks or months prior, I was not living a life of Christ. I was living a life of sin, kind of forcefully invited onto this trip by my friends. And so I felt very out of the group. I didn't feel very Christian-like. I felt like I was off. And so I sat at this prayer house in the seventh row, four seats down, and I said, I need to pray for the Lord to fix my heart. Not just the people that we're interacting with, but me myself was not fully centered in Christ as I felt I should be. When I sat in this chair, it wasn't as simple of a prayer as I'd like to say. I started praying, "Lord, please fix my heart, center my eyes and my mind where you want it." And immediately I felt pulled physically into this very dark space where I felt like I was being restrained by my limbs and I was being stabbed. It felt extremely physically painful and very real. It did not feel like something that was just of a vision or of a prophecy, but it felt like something that was actually happening to me in this prayer house. And at that time, I was shouting to the Lord. I was like, "Please stop it. Lord, help me. Please heal me. Jesus, make it better." And randomly, it stopped. And I was able to find myself back in that chair. I looked up my head, and what was once me sitting alone in the seventh row was nine people from our trip and our team around me with their hands extended praying for me. Now, if you know anything from what it says in Philippians, it talks about extending your hands with your people around you. And in Philippians 1, it really says that that is where you'll feel joy, is when people of the church put their hands on you and pray. At this time, I then bowed my head again, needed to finish the prayer that I started. And I felt the Lord for the second time in my life audibly say, "Go." Because I asked, "Lord, what was that for? Where do I go with this now? What is the point of that?" And He just said, "Go." So I jolted up out of this chair and I said, "I'm going to go." And my friends were like, "Are you okay?" Because in real time, I was just head over my knees, a little bit of like shaking and murmuring in this chair. It wasn't anything super out of the normal crazy, but it definitely wasn't normal. It was something where all of my friends were kind of at their prayer stations, and then they just saw a kid that they barely knew. They maybe knew my name and a little bit about my story, and they were like, "We just need to pray for this kid." And immediately I knew that the community I didn't feel like I was a part of, I was. And I felt joy. I felt the joy that we were just singing about when we were praising. I felt like in that time, it was something that all those angry parts of my past, or maybe childhood wasn't super great, or parts of my faith were not super easy, I felt joy. I was able to reflect on those, and I was able to see that they did happen, but I didn't feel negative or angry towards them. I share all these parts of my story because it really helps define who I was before I came into our church. Because once this big earth-shaking breakthrough moment in my spiritual life happened, I dove headfirst into anything and everything this church offered, whether that was serving on Sundays as a greeter, or it was going on more mission trips, or helping lead our Bible studies. I was doing whatever I was able to do to try to get connected with the Lord. This led to this past year, me doing a voluntary internship at our church, to understand as someone who's now out of school, how can I still serve these college students as I was once served? And I was asked if I could be a part of a banquet, because our church just celebrated 40 years of being open, and they invited back all of our alumni and former staff to come and just have a celebratory reflection on how our church has grown. At this time, I was feeling my internship going pretty well, as a voluntary internship can go, but I felt like I was missing something. Like, I felt like there was a part of me that still wasn't learning the lesson God was teaching. And it took me having to greet some of those former staff members and ask them, why did you not go into engineering? Or why did you not go into being a doctor or go into being a teacher? Why are you doing college ministry? Why did you turn down such big financial contracts to pick up the call from God? And they looked at me and said, well, you just answered it. Why would you hang up on God? And I, at that moment, felt goosebumps and was like, all right, yeah, that's pretty good conviction. Why am I hanging up on God? Why am I trying to make a worldly sense of what isn't really worldly, but what made the world? So I went to our head pastor and I said, hey, how can I make my internship extended? And how can I make this support-based as it was built? These internship programs are not made to necessarily be voluntary. The point of an internship is so you can see what a missional life looks like as a part of H2O Church. And they basically said, great, let's do it. And so I went through the training this past spring, and I did all the things I needed to do for my internship to go till next year and now be support-based, where I've met with many people. I got the opportunity of meeting this past spring with Rebecca, and we sat down, and I got to talk to her about these things and really just say, hey, you've known me for a while, seen what I was like a little bit before my faith and now during. Is there anyone that you feel like I can talk to about this, to get advice on it, to pray for me, or have any sort of support? And she was like, well, Pastor Art and Angela helped me out in the past with different things. I'd love for you to talk to them. And so I did. Picked up the phone, had about a 40-minute conversation with them, and after that, immediately, it was as if the Lord kind of affirmed all of my worries of, is this really what I'm supposed to do? Am I supposed to not use that associate's degree or not go into this big field that is kind of lined up for me? Am I supposed to turn those offers down and go into ministry? Talking to Pastor Art and Angela, hearing a little bit about their stories, and being able to be here last month to see how your guys' church operates as a community church really made me understand that this is something that I'm supposed to be doing. And so, that's enough about who is this guy. Hopefully now you understand a little bit about who I am and what my motives are about being here. To talk a little bit about our church that I'm serving at Bowling Green State University, I mentioned my own personal impact that I had through the spiritual walk. But how I found that church was a pretty, I guess, new age or Gen Z way of doing it. I simply did a Google search. I went on Google Maps and typed church in my area when I was on campus, and I was scrolling, and you had those classic church names of First Baptist or Saint Whatever's. But I then saw H2O Church. I said, Church of Water? H2O? What does that even mean? And I said, does H2O somehow have to do anything with what they're doing, with their mission? Is it just a fun little like new thing they wanted to try out? Well, it's specifically attached to our values and our mission. Our name is based on the story in John 4, verse 14, which is the woman at the well. And what that verse says on John 4, 14 says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, if you don't know about this story, this is the story where Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria, where he kind of didn't have to go through Samaria. If you know anything about the Jewish versus Samaritan culture, they weren't best friends necessarily. But Jesus says he had to go through Samaria. If you look at a map, he could have gone around it. He could have gone above it. But he chose to go through it. It was the quickest route, but it was also what some would say would be the most dangerous. And at this time, he found this well in the midst of the day, the hottest part of the day. And he didn't find it by himself. There's a woman there. And at the cultural norms of this area was for women to go get water at night when it was cooler and in groups so it was safer. So again, I'm, as a reader reading this, why would a woman choose to be there alone at the hottest part of the day? Well, some would think maybe they're a social outcast. Maybe this person's new to town. Maybe they just didn't know. They didn't know the rules yet. But no, Jesus knew every answer, and he read her like a book. He understood the sins that she was struggling with, and he understood that she was not identified by her sins, but that she could be made new. And that is one of our biggest things in our church. And so he then told her, hey, by the way, I'm the Messiah. If you drink this water, you can enjoy eternal life. But he wasn't talking about the water in the well. He was talking about the water as in the spring that is inside each of us through the Spirit. Now, that's the story that bases off H2O's name. But let's relate this to the college environment. Why did they take that name and relate it to a college church? Roughly, some stats I looked up lately. I went to school for a math education degree, so I'm a really big stats guy, so bear with me here. Roughly 65% of students who had a faith background in their youth stop practicing in their college ages. Whether they actually attend college or not doesn't really have much of a factor, but once they hit 18 to 25, many stop practicing what their parents might have implemented for them. Another 32% of college students or college-aged people report to have never had a Christian background at all. Whether they grew up with other faiths or no faith, they weren't backed in the Jesus faith, in the Christian faith. That leaves 3% of people that were raised in the church that still practice their faith. That statistic broke my heart. When I read that and I saw such a small number of people that parents took a lot of time with, and their parents probably took a lot of time with, to implement values and backgrounds that continue to walk in it. However, that is something to celebrate, right? We still have a percent. But H2O Church, 40 years ago, started as a college-led ministry, mostly for Bible studies and community gathering, and that evolved into having Sunday services, retreats, and different baptism services where we are able to reach as many students that this campus has to offer. And so when you look at stats, you always kind of have to look at it with an asterisk because they're normally generally true, but not always regionally. Because here at BGSU, there is roughly 6,000 students living there, and about 450 of them attend our Sunday services. That's roughly around 7 to 8%. So it's almost doubled, over doubled, doubled the national average of people finding their faith and practicing. So our goal, realistically, well, our goal is 100%, right? We want everyone to get reached. But our realistic goal as a church is we'd love to see 10% of our campus involved in our church, or just in church in general. Our campus offers many ministries, not just H2O being there. But within this past school year, H2O, alongside some of our supporting ministries, had over 70 people come forward and be baptized in those two semesters. Now, post-COVID, those are crazy high numbers. But before COVID, we had many, many bigger gatherings, as I'm sure you guys relate to. The COVID kind of killed a lot of our socializing. But we're coming back from that, and we got to see the Lord really move and impact, and not just our campus, but H2O is blessed to be a part of a network of H2O churches all across Ohio. We have one in Florida, and we just expanded to having one in Indiana that I had the pleasure of helping at their current church planting just a couple days ago. And so that's our baptisms. That's a really big celebration for us. And then with that, once you are in our church, we'd love to invite them into our discipleship program. We call it The Well. We're really big on using the water puns. So when it comes to that, the past 3 years that I've been in this church, we've had over 250 students see this well completed. And that normally is a several week long discipleship program. It happens once a week where students are helping find other students to find Jesus. So that kind of looks like is if you're an incoming freshman or incoming to our church, we want you to know what it looks like to be all in for Jesus. And we do that by partnering you up with a fellow student where you're able to feel that one-on-one discipleship with someone that can relate to you. And then you're partnered with understanding how it looks like to serve a church where every Sunday they help in a different way through helping with our production, helping with sound, helping with greeting, helping take care of the children on our community side, and all of that. And so this program's also proved to be a pipeline for students that want to be involved in leadership in our church. Once graduating the well, students are able to apply to help lead a Bible study. But we don't call them Bible studies. Where we're from in this church, we call them life groups because they're not meant to just be where once a week you come and dive into the Word on Sundays. But it's meant to be something beyond that, where when you gather, you're breaking bread with one another. You're fellowshipping. You're praying with each other, holding each other accountable for our sins, and diving into the scripture studies through fellowship. And if you're hearing that and you're like, oh, that sounds familiar, that's exactly what in Acts 2 it draws out for the new church and what we're called to do. And so our life groups started at just like a once a week thing. It started back in the 80s on Thursdays, and they called it Thursday Night Live. What a great, see, we just love the puns. We love to relate it to whatever we can. Nowadays, we have 14 of those life groups. They happen anywhere from Tuesday to Thursday, and we have anywhere from 15 to 50 students attending each group. Now, if you recall, earlier in my story, I shared about how I met all these different staff through our 40-year celebration. And I just mentioned how we have a network of churches. My goal, and what I feel super led for, and this kind of goes into why I'm here, is that I'd love to one day be a church planter where I can help expand our network, and I can reach more college students on more campuses, and even in other states if the Lord calls me there. And so when it comes to me sharing all these details, I'm not doing that to boast about what we're doing, but I want to invite you to continue to make it happen. Now, me inviting you to that is not the same as how we're inviting you to this picnic in a couple weeks. I'm not asking you to come to Bowling Green State University and serve our church. However, if you'd love to do that, we can definitely have you, and we'd love to have you on a Sunday. But what that partnership looks like is something that can happen financially, prayerfully, and through relations. So I'm prayerfully seeking to become a church planter. And like I'd mentioned that already, that kind of starts with an internship. You can't just kind of apply for that job on Indeed or anything like that. You have to start within the network. And so in the next few days, I will be beginning my 30-hour support-based internship. I open up to you all on this level of vulnerability to really ask you to reflect on your hearts and your walk with the Lord and see if this is something that you feel excited about and if you feel called to help support. Now, when you guys were coming in today, the greeters helped hand out some of those little postcards. On there, on the back, is contact information. I'd love to get to know you more at lunch, but I understand some of you might be busy and you might already have plans. And I'd love to get in contact with you to know how I can be praying for you, but also have you praying for our ministry. And if something financial is something that is exciting to you, I'm looking to have an additional $25,000 left to raise over the next week and a half. And so if you break that down, it's about $2,000 a month is what I'm looking for. And so what I would love and what would be the prayer for this church is if I could have one or two of you joining my team anywhere from $150 to $300 a month, or anywhere from five or six of you joining at $50 to $100 a month, that would be extremely helpful to get me halfway to that goal. However, I understand that you guys are obviously giving to other areas, and I think that is extremely awesome and such a blessing. And I'd love for you to, again, search your heart with that and see what it looks like the Lord's leading you. But either way, I'd love to get to know you guys relationally and understand this church more and be a part of this community as best as I can. As Pastor Art and Angela have joined and have been supporting, I want to make sure that I can support you guys back in the same way by praying. So, after the service, as they've already mentioned, we're going to be having lunch with one another. And so if you are able to go to that, I'd be so excited for that. But if not, please, if you want to fill these out, and you guys can put it just back by the info table on one of the chairs back there, or you can hand it to one of us as you're heading out. I'd love to get to know you more that way as well. So that's basically everything I had for today. And so I want to make sure that you guys understand that as a church, I'll be giving you guys updates once a month through email. I'll be emailing Pastor Art and Angela, as well as if any of you guys were to join my team, you'll also get your own individual copy of this. But it lets you know what our church is doing, not just as a whole, not just in my ministry, but I'm also going to be going to two or three of our students that I'm going to be discipling or leading and asking them for specific prayer requests so you guys can put a name to a face that you're praying for. And it'd be such a blessing if you guys can lift those names up to the Lord throughout your time in the week when you're already talking to them. So with that, I'd love to pray and close us out. Lord God, you are just so good. I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here to speak with these folks, and I just pray that I'm able to get to know as many of them or all of them after this, Lord. I pray that whatever ways that you've taken this and you will make it good, Lord, I just pray that you give me comfort and peace through that. I pray for each of these individuals, and I pray for all the names that we've lifted up already today, that you give them comfort and peace and wisdom and strength. I thank you for everything you're doing, you have done, and you'll continue to do. And it's your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys very much.
We'll pray. There we go. Gotta get the vocal cords back somewhere. So how many of you remember back in the day we had a branch of ministry we called H2O? Bad. Some of y'all. back in the day, we did that, and it was called Help to Others. That's what ours stood for. And we gathered water, and we stored, we had that mezzanine up above there. I forget how many things of water we had, and then we found out they expire. Hey, well, that ain't good. So we had to start using it, and at that point, we decided to start using money to help, you know, catastrophes is what it was for. So but I just sat there, and the Lord said, yeah, remember, you had a branch you called H2O as well. So we always did that, and it was always such a good thing, you know. And again, we have partnered with him as a body, and if the Holy Spirit leads you to partner as an individual, feel free and obey the Holy Spirit. Okay? You obey the Holy Spirit. And, you know, those of you who are going to stay, feel free to talk with Evan. I told him, I said, you know, if you're sitting there and, you know, you're done eating, whatever, nobody can go to them. Talk to them. I said, that's the whole point of this, is for them to get to know you a little bit. The Lord had began dealing with us about our outreach abilities. Years ago, we had certain ministries we always gave to every month. And, you know, a lot of them were always global. And then the Holy Spirit began telling you need to start dealing with something a little more localized. So we started helping other ministries around food banks and stuff. These are things that God has not actually opened up for us to start, because one thing I do not believe in is reinventing the wheel. The wheel is the wheel, and it works just fine. There are many ministries who have got years and years and years rolling with this. And we've been apart from anything from a heartbeat to helping unwed couples with babies to preventing abortion to helping them put clothes and diapers on these babies, providing clothing for school-age children and such. And so we've done a lot of things. And so and the Holy Spirit, you know, when we talked with Evan, he said, you know, if you'll take and pray about this, I said, you know, I don't need to go pray. The Holy Spirit already told me to help you. So, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I need to go spend 6 months in prayer about this, brother. No, the Holy Spirit is instantaneous. There, I don't know where people got off of that garbage that all we need to... No, the Holy Spirit's here now. He's never left me. You know, so, you know, sometimes you just need to... You need a swift kick in the butt. You know, I remember Bob told Karen one time, somebody said something, said, no, I asked the Holy Spirit this morning to do that, and I don't need to pray every time I do for the Holy Spirit to do this. Exactly. You walk by the Spirit, because sometimes the Spirit's saying, hey, dummy, don't go down that road. Well, I need to pray about that, and then you go down that road, and you find out it's a dead end. So please feel free to do that. And so pizzas are now, should be getting here by now. I was told to fill in. So let's go ahead and stand. Hallelujah. And again, we'll give them a few minutes over there, but I'm going to bless the food here. And, you know, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that you've brought to us to share the gospel with college-age kids on a large university, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you're going to move miraculously through H2O, through Evan, Lord. You're going to lead them and guide them, Father, to bring countless souls into the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to partner with them in this. And Lord God, I thank you for all of your people here today, Lord. I know as they go about, Lord, your Holy Spirit is speaking to them right now. And Father, so I bless them, Lord God. I bless them in their endeavors this week. I pray, Father, that you go with them, you lead them, and you guide them. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity this afternoon to come together as brothers and sisters to share the meal. Father, I ask that you'd bless it. I thank you for it. Lord, bless the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.